Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitches since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Justin.
And we are best friends.
Hallelujah, we did that.
We did that. We're staring into each other's eyes like, are you going to mess up or am I?
We did that. That's awesome.
So yay for us. Mm-hmm. It's a great spring. A little chilly today.
A little chilly. Wearing a sweater still. Yep.
And we're actually wearing matching sweaters.
We are kind of matchy-matchy. Yeah.
And we're in the same color palette.
Yeah, we are. I did want to say, there's someone on our Facebook page who wanted an update on how the garden was going.
Oh, well, so, you know, I'm waiting for some fill to be put into Joss's backyard, and then I'm going to rent a little bobcat and do some smoothing and some drainage, and then the planting will begin after the princess's wedding.
Right, right. Yeah. Wedding first. Yeah, wedding first.
Wedding in 4 weeks today.
Unbelievable. Right? Can't wait.
I know. It's going to be so much fun.
I'm going to be bawling.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I did her hair yesterday, just in case her drag queen hairstylist fails her.
Right.
Which she's not going to. But just in case, so I did her hair as, you know, the backup, and I put her veil on, and I started
You burst into tears, that's right.
My baby.
Yeah, so.
Classic, yeah. So, we have such a strange and long and fascinating letter this week.
Yes.
It is so long that we are going to take turns reading it.
Okay, great.
All right. And we have a lot to say about this.
We do. Yeah. And it's really lovely that she broke it up into a bunch of chunks.
She did. It's like chapters.
It is. So I'm going to read the first chapter.
That sounds great.
Okay, here we go. She says, "Hi, ladies. I have a splinter stuck in my thumb. Not actually, but this ex-friend won't leave my life. Please help me get her to exit stage left." Fine. So the background is this. Splinter and I met through my older sister during college. My sister and I are only 1 year apart, and she bullied me most of my life until junior year of high school when we had an amazing summer with new friends. This really bonded my sister and I, so when it came time for me to pick a university, I wanted to go to the same one as her. However, when I arrived on campus, my sister ignored me to hang out with Splinter and do drugs. During my freshman year, my sister wouldn't return my texts or calls, and when I would see Splinter, she would give me the stank face.
What is a stank face?
Something like that, maybe?
Just demonstrated.
Something like that.
Disgusted.
Or maybe rolling eyes. Ew. Okay. Right. I was devastated and decided to live with an aunt on the beach that summer and work instead of going home. That summer was very healing for me, and I became very connected with my spirit. I went back to campus. It seemed like everyone took notice of my calm and confident energy. This is when Splinter noticed my tan and new clothes and tried very hard to be my friend. At this point, I saw her intention, but I still eventually gave in. My sister apologized for ignoring me and invited me to hang out with her friends, who I didn't like very much, but following my sister was familiar, and I just wanted to spend time with her. Splinter only wanted to smoke weed together. After 1 year of making fun memories with Splinter, I decided to stop smoking for the rest of college. I wanted to focus on my career and professional development. Instead of offering to do other activities with Splinter, I just declined her invitations to hang out. I couldn't imagine seeing her without weed being involved in some way. I think this hurt her feelings and was the beginning of our end. However, I would still see Splinter around my sister, but we never talked about the tension. Then comes junior year of college. I am diagnosed with severe anxiety due to the toxic dynamic I had with my advisor, whose research lab I worked in. I internalized what he wanted me to believe, which is that I wasn't good enough or smart enough without him or his lab. Years later, I found out that he was manipulating students so that he could meet a quota of graduate students in his lab to receive tenure. Anyway, because I had severe anxiety, I was too insecure to make plans with many of my friends. I was afraid people would see me as a failure like my abusive advisor. Those years were pretty isolating. I lived in a world of insecurity. During this time, I saw my sister's friends more because I was mostly at our apartment studying. My sister's girlfriends made me feel special, and they said really sweet things like, we'll all be best friends forever. And our kids will be friends. And we're soul sisters. It was easy socialization for me because all I had to do was show up. They also intended to talk a lot over me, which was great for my anxiety because they said they loved me without me having to do much. I eventually graduated early and started to feel like myself again. I reached out to friends more, including Splinter. I studied with Splinter at coffee shops and even went on a trip to Miami, just us. During that weekend, our differences were really clear. She was cold and our maturity and confidence levels were just different. I came back feeling pretty low. Next time I saw Splinter, we were out at a bar. She introduced me to some of her new classmates. One was super hot. He invited me to an outdoor gym class with other mutual friends, and I went. At this time, I wanted to meet with Splinter and let her know that I had a crush on this hot guy. We were in a small town, and I was unsure if she liked him. Splinter bailed on me for 3 consecutive scheduled hangouts. I had too much anxiety to text her that it was urgent, so I just kept agreeing to meet at later dates. I ended up not seeing Splinter nor the hot guy until we were all at a party. When Splinter arrived at the party, I told her how beautiful she looked and that I loved her eyes. She was wearing colored contacts. She immediately gave me the stank face and walked past me to talk to guys. I think she didn't want them to suspect that her eye color wasn't natural. Anyways, I just ignored her for the rest of the party. I started drinking. Eventually, the hot guy found me. We decided to leave to skateboard because I wanted to impress him, and I was 21. I ended up falling on my elbow, of course. He cleaned it up, and we got food. Splinter knew I left the party with him, and when I tried to meet up with her to talk about it, she ignored my calls and texts for over a week.
Chapter 2. The betrayal goes both ways. Mm-hmm. She finally met with me and was deeply upset. She was crying. She felt betrayed. I didn't know how to stand up for myself at the time and just internalized all of the guilt and shame. I just listened to her. Turns out she was sleeping with the hot guy casually. I knew she was sleeping with at least 2 other guys casually and that another guy who lived out of state was calling her every night to talk before bed, but I didn't bring this up. So her devastation was really surprising to me, but I still felt so bad. I apologized, was honest with what had happened, and asked her what she needed of me. She said she needed time to get over it, and she called me a liar and believed that I was sleeping with him. I remember that her little sister was a drug addict and a liar, so I knew she was projecting, but I also felt hurt because I was so pure at the time. I hadn't ever slept casually with any man. The biggest goal of my life while I was in college was to study Buddhism, poetry, and ethics so that I could become the most compassionate person I could be and to have the purest heart I could have in this life and to define the morals that I wanted to live by. I felt like that accusation signaled that she didn't know me despite all the time we spent together. Anyway, I left thinking she would feel embarrassed for how she reacted and that she would apologize for calling me a liar, especially since the hot guy turned out to be trying to hook up with several of Splinter's friends. Splinter never apologized. Instead, she told all of our mutual friends what she believed, and they turned into mean girls. That devastated me. One girl snapped at me via text saying, "I don't even know why you're texting me. We're not close." Years later, I found a long card she had made for my birthday, and she called me a beautiful soul and that she loved me so much, etc., etc. So our perceived relationship wasn't all in my head. That same girl who snapped at me is notoriously jealous. So she also accused me of trying to steal her boyfriend because I spent time with him while they were dating. But I actually only saw him once or twice at a coffee shop because he was in the graduate program I was applying to and he gave me advice on essays. He and I were also classmates for years. I learned that my relationship status has a huge effect on some female relationships. A few months after the trauma, Splinter stayed at my apartment when she was in town for a job interview, and I apologized again in a sweet letter and treated her out. The next year, I saw Splinter at 2 weddings. At the first wedding, I was sitting next to her in the evening, and I started crying because I felt like things weren't the same. Splinter smirked and chuckled subtly when she saw that I was crying and said it was all fine. She turned away to keep paying attention to another conversation happening. At the second wedding I saw her at, she didn't talk to me. even though we were seated at the same table. When Splinter was working temporarily in Washington, D.C., which was a few hours away from me, I offered to visit. She said she didn't have time. Later, I saw a text banner on my roommate's phone from Splinter that said, "You can come visit me, but I don't want to see her." My roommate confirmed that it was about me. I was devastated. I couldn't believe that after more than 2 years of space, she still wanted more space. I had apologized at least 4 times. I was hoping that the girls in that friend group would eventually feel embarrassed for their reactions, or they'd forget the drama, and they would apologize to me, or at least invite me to events. But no one made concerted efforts to nourish their relationship with me. One girl unfriended me on social media. I wasn't invited on trips. Whenever I visited a city where one of the girls lived, I would try to meet up, but I was always ignored. It was personal, because if I was with a mutual friend, their calls and texts were answered immediately. So I had to face reality. These girls were being very unkind to me. Obviously, they valued their friendship with Splinter more than with me, and the idea of our friendship had been a myth. 5 years after the drama, my healing journey began. I started going to therapy and meditation classes. Splinter happened to be visiting the new city I lived in for a conference. She texted me to meet up, and I was uneasy. I was conflicted, but I decided to give her another shot. Maybe it would be good for me. We picked a day. I suggested that we go out for ice cream and a walk, or whatever she wanted. We agreed on a time, and when the day came, it was radio silence from Splinter. I felt discouraged and rejected. She texted me around midnight saying, "Sorry, my phone died. The conference ended up being super late, and I just got to the hotel." I felt like it was a lie. I ended up not seeing her while she was in town.
Chapter 3, The Confrontation. Over a year passed, and I started dating an amazing guy who was also super cute, and I posted a picture of us on social media. This was the first picture Splinter had liked of mine in years, and she sent me a message that she was so happy for me. I realized that when my life is going well, she wants to be in it, but when I'm struggling, she kicks me down. I ignored her. She eventually texted me a heartfelt message on my birthday. I suggested we talk on the phone, and she didn't reply. I then unfriended her on social media and muted her texts. A year later, my partner got a job in the same state that Splinter lives in. I dreaded her finding out that I was moving. I knew one of the 2 mutual friends we have left would mention it at some point, while they were visiting me at least. When Splinter found out that I was moving, she texted something really sweet. I replied with, "Hey, to be honest, we haven't been friends for years, so I don't see the need to text. We haven't had a phone conversation in 7 years. So we obviously have different expectations from friendship. I've tried to be friends several times, and it hasn't worked out, and I'm okay with that. I'm saying this out of respect for myself and you. I hope you can see that." And she reacted. She sent me so many texts describing her denial and confusion. She sent me screenshots of nice messages I had sent her over the years. One happened to be one of my many apologies, and she had replied with emojis. So then she justified why she had replied only with emojis instead of calling me, and she said that she had no idea that I'd still been upset by what happened. She called the drama a minor annoyance and a blip in our friendship, and that she feels nothing about it anymore. She said that she thought of me as family, and that my need for a boundary means that I have demonized her, and it's not fair. She mentioned how she saw me at the wedding, the one she didn't speak to me at, and how she visited the city I live in now when she bailed on me and we didn't meet up. She denied that it had been 7 years since we had a phone conversation. She said she was excited to see me and asked when I was moving. She said she loved me and I felt nothing. How can someone be on a completely different page? I think this probably has to do with her weed consumption, to be honest. It made me mad because it feels like gaslighting and manipulation. What if I was still as naive and vulnerable as I was 7 years ago? I didn't really engage and just said, "Hey, I didn't expect this reaction. My feelings are valid. And just because I am being direct and requesting a boundary doesn't mean I'm demonizing you. You can believe whatever you want about me. I don't care, but if you actually want to understand, I'm not doing it over text. Let's schedule a call. Are you free these days?" She was being really difficult. not giving me a day to talk on the phone and saying that all she needs is 10 minutes. She called me even though I said I was unavailable that week. She was being very defensive, justifying everything she had done, then blaming me for how I feel. I just stopped messaging her because I told her it wasn't good for me. How I handle this breakup will save me time and energy in the future when I'm living closer. Hopefully we don't run into each other, but if we do, we don't have to speak because it's understood. And she also won't try to see me when our two mutual friends visit. It may help me to move on in a way I don't anticipate and give me the chance to stand up for myself. I just want to be clear that we're done. I don't trust her anymore. I've made new friends now who are healthy and compatible for me. I'm entering a new era in my life, and Splinter does not fit in. How do I break up with her? I'd rather not talk on the phone because I anticipate that she'll deny what I'm saying, so a phone call could be worse for me. I'm open to texting it. I would still have peace not saying anything to her. I just want her to have closure because I know it's what it's like to be ghosted, and I don't want to do that to someone. Maybe a text would be good because I just have to send it and not read her reply. I'm really just clarifying my need for a boundary for her to understand, and also so that she doesn't try to see or talk to me. Please let me know how to break up with her, and please validate me. Thank you so much. Signed, Empowered.
Signed, Empowered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, Empowered, we're glad you wrote. And we're fascinated with your story.
Yes, and we are... Empowered had sent a cover letter along with this long letter that said that she really loved our podcast, and we really thank you for that.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you listening.
And also trusting us with this this problem of yours.
Yes.
However. I'll tell you, Empowered, when Joss and I read your letter, we were circling certain patterns and mm-hmm. words and writing question marks and WTFs in mm-hmm. the margin.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my first question is, when were you ever friends with Splinter?
Good question.
Right?
Yeah.
You immediately didn't like her.
Yeah.
You immediately judged her as not worth your time because she smoked too much weed.
Right.
And you went off to your aunt's and you had this healing summer and you mm-hmm. came back more confident. And what did you do? You spent the year with her.
Yeah, smoking a lot of weed,
I believe. After all of this damage that she did to you, according to you.
Right.
And then you ghosted her.
Yes. You just decided that you didn't want to smoke weed anymore, and so you wanted to focus on your career or whatever.
And you really judged her by saying, I just couldn't picture her doing anything without weed.
Right.
Without giving her the chance to...
Right.
...deny that. Maybe you could have said, I'd love to see you, Splinter, but I'm really not comfortable... when you're high.
Right.
But you didn't. You right. just didn't respond to her.
Right.
And then comes the anxiety stuff. You know, how you were victimized by this professor mm-hmm. and how it completely changed your world and how you lived in a world of anxiety. And were a very passive person
mm-hmm.
in your sister's friend group. You know, you let them talk over you, you say, and you said that was great
mm-hmm.
Because you didn't have to do anything and mm-hmm. they still loved you.
And presumably during this time, you still didn't see Splinter.
Yeah. Right? I'm just saying that that's a very childish take yeah. on a relationship. Like, yes. I will lay here
yeah.
and you will love me.
I'll lay here and let you love me. Yes.
And it doesn't matter what you really think of me as long as you say you love me.
Right. Then you graduate early and you reached out to Splinter again?
Yeah.
Why?
Right.
Why? Why?
And, you know, you go to Miami and then you find out that she's cold and your maturity and confidence levels are different. And you felt really crappy. And then you go to a party together. You know, we're just like, why? Why are you continuing to bang your head
yeah.
in the car door and right. keep slamming it on yourself?
Agreed.
And then, you know, there's this thing that happened with, you know, this hot guy and you went skateboarding, got food, and he cleaned up your boo-boo.
Yeah.
Then you apologize for that for the next how many years?
Right.
So if there was nothing to apologize for, why did you keep apologizing?
Right. If you felt okay and not guilty for doing that, My feeling is, I'm really reading between the lines, is during that time, you kind of had an idea that Splinter might have liked this hot guy. And then you went skateboarding with him. And whether or not something happened, there is the perception that something happened, right?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do that to you, Kristen, right. if you were dating someone other than Terrence and I decided to go have coffee with him. That the perception of that would look not great.
Right.
And so I would avoid that because you're my friend and you're my priority.
Yeah. And this idea that, like, you gave her a compliment about her different colored eyes, like, that's you know, a double-edged sword.
It really is.
You are pointing out, oh, yeah, no, your eyes are blue and they used to be brown or whatever. And it's, you know, you embarrassed her.
Yeah.
You embarrassed her.
You did. And she gave you the stank face and talked to guys and you thought it was because... she didn't want them to see that her eyes were not natural. But maybe it was because she knew that you were jonesing after this guy, that she was also jonesing after.
Or just that, you know, you made her feel uncomfortable by pointing out she was wearing colored contacts.
Yes.
But then, you know, you finally meet and she's very upset and, yeah, she was sleeping with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, you say, like, gosh, I'm so surprised that you're devastated. And I want to point out, Empowered, you have used the word devastated like 6 times in this letter to describe your own feelings.
Right.
But when Splinter
right.
says she was devastated, you brush it off.
You really do.
You know, and so you apologize. Now, this is the thing. If you didn't do anything wrong, you don't need to apologize.
Agreed.
You could say, Splinter, we were both... wanted to go skateboarding.
Yeah.
And then I fell, and then we got some french fries. I mean,
yeah.
That's it.
Right.
Right? Unless there was more to it,
which is
what we're reading between the lines.
That's what I think.
You don't apologize for something so innocent.
Right.
But I also want to point out, Empowered, that you're slut-shaming her in this paragraph.
Right.
Talking about how many guys she's sleeping with, dating, talking to, and that's not... what a friend does.
You're
keeping count.
I was really disappointed to read that because you were supposed to be this great person.
This Buddhist,
right?
You know,
fabulous
namaste
person.
Kind of person.
Empowered.
And you're studying ethics and Buddhism and you are not succeeding when you slut shame this woman that you have been friends with for years.
Right. I mean, it's obvious that Splinter liked this guy. How many other guys she's sleeping with? I'm not sure what that has to do with anything.
It has nothing to do with anything. You are judging her, which is pretty much the opposite of Buddhism.
Yes. Yes. Agreed.
And then you say, like, she doesn't know me. Well, you know, you don't know her either. You guys are a terrible combination.
Yeah.
But you keep bringing her back into your life.
Right.
And then you're devastated again because she doesn't apologize to you. And you expect, like, everyone to feel embarrassed about their behavior.
Yeah.
And that they should be apologizing to you. And here's another woman saying that you tried to steal her boyfriend because you spent time with him. You're obviously giving out mixed messages.
Yes. That's what we're calling this podcast,
yeah,
by the way.
This is the episode is mixed messages.
And it's not just to the guys Empowered. I think you gave Splinter, from the very beginning, many mixed messages.
Yeah. So moving on, you say, like, I learned my relationship status has a huge effect on some female relationships. So again, you're blaming the other women for, you know, their view of you and taking zero responsibility for your own role in this very difficult, complicated, unpleasant relationships that you have with many fellow women.
Yes. Yes.
So I think that you need to look at that. You know, that every woman you encounter has trouble with you, it might not be them.
Just think about what the common denominator is of all this whole letter. It's really you, Empowered.
So then you invite Splinter to stay at your apartment. And this is where I was like,
why?
The bleep, right?
Why?
And then you're apologizing to her again.
What? Why?
For the french fries you had with the hot guy 6 years ago? You know, I just...
Oh.
Right, so... And then, okay, you start crying at a wedding because you feel like things weren't the same with her. I've got news for you. They were always shitty with her.
Yeah, and even more shitty now because you guys have never had a decent conversation. You've never had real communication with this person. It's always been this mixed message.
Yeah.
It's always been this, it seems to me, this very surface relationship.
Right. The only time you had fun was the year you spent getting high with
her. That's it.
And so you said, like, things aren't the same. I was like, that's because you grew up and changed it. You said, I don't want to get high anymore. Right. Good for you.
Yeah.
But you moved on. But now you're saying, she's not, I'm so shocked. She's laughing at my tears and saying it's fine. And then you offer to visit her.
Why?
Why? Why? Why do you want to see her?
Why?
She's making, I mean, if we take everything you say as gospel truth,
yeah.
She's mocking you for crying for the loss of your friendship.
Yeah.
You know? And then you say, you know, I would love to visit Splinter. You know what would be fun?
Yeah.
And then you say, you know, again, you'd apologize at least 4 times. Why?
Yeah.
You have nothing to apologize for. And then you start talking about how mean the other girls are. No one makes a concerted effort to nourish their relationship with you. They're unfriending you on social media. And you attribute this to them all being turned into mean girls.
Yeah.
By Splinter.
Let's rethink that.
Yeah.
Let's rethink that.
What is the common denominator?
Again.
Is Splinter so mighty and powerful that she can brainwash people into not liking you?
Right.
You're saying the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Empowered.
That's incredible. That's
not a real empowered stance to take.
No, it's not. I want you to be very clear about your behavior during this time, because I don't think we're getting the real story about how you behaved and how your behavior was perceived by those girls. I think you're like deliberately glossing over that, not seeing that some of the social cues that they might have put up where they were like, this is not cool, and you ignored it instead.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then she's visiting your city for a conference and she wants to meet you and you decide to give her another chance.
Why?
Why?
Why? Okay.
And then we're moving into chapter 3 now.
Yes.
You know, she texts you that she's happy for you, that you're seeing a nice guy. And your response could have been, thanks.
Yes. What's wrong with that?
Thanks.
Yeah.
But instead, you know, you make this assumption that she wants to kick you when you're down and only wants to be your friend when you're up. And then she sends you a heartfelt message on your birthday, and you want to talk to her on the phone. Now, at this point, your friendship has been over like 6 times.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, you didn't reply, or you suggested she talked on the phone. She didn't reply. Then you unfriended her and muted her text. Mm-hmm. What you should have done is blocked her.
Yeah. And then you're done.
Then she's out of your life. You block her on social media. You block her on your phone. You never have to hear from her again.
Right.
But instead...
Yeah.
Instead, you know, the mutual friends...
Yes.
So Splinter finds out and she texts you something nice and you could have said, thanks.
Yeah.
And then instead you want to have this mysterious, elusive, mythological closure.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is...
And you spill your guts and say, like, I've tried to be friends with you for so many times. It's never worked out. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Clearly you're not.
Right.
You're not. And we get that.
Yeah.
It takes a while to really be done with a friend. And then she says, oh, no, you're misreading this, blah, yes. blah, blah.
Yes. And here's the proof and screenshots.
And then here's, you know, my many apologies that I've given her. She thinks of you as family and your need for boundaries and all this stuff. And you could just, you know, just open that phone.
Yeah.
And slide that button. Block this caller.
And then just delete
just
it all.
Just done.
Yeah.
Just done.
Uh-huh.
She's saying she loves you and all this stuff. So you're saying, how can someone be on such a completely different page? Because of your mixed messages.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm thinking this friendship spans at least 7 years.
At least.
You said you haven't talked on the phone in 7 years. So, like, let's say it's 10,
yeah.
12.
Yeah, yeah.
And all this time you've been... breaking up with her, getting back together with her, being hurt with her, breaking up with her.
You ghost her, you come back.
Getting back together. It's
not an ounce of communication going on through all of that.
We are exhausted for you. We are just exhausted for you. And you say, like, how can I handle this breakup?
You broke up.
Yeah, how many times do you have to break up? Right? You know?
Oh, my gosh.
You're right. It's not good for you to see her.
Yeah.
And it's not good for her to see you.
No.
I'm sorry. You guys are poison to each other.
I agree.
And not It's not that she is evil and you are enlightened and Buddhist and empowered.
No.
You've both screwed each other's heads, you know.
Big time.
Just awful. So I think, you know, the mature thing to do at this point, you know that if you say, you did this, she's going to say, no, I didn't, and
right.
you did that.
Right.
It's pointless. You're
right.
not going to get closure. You're not going to be, like, pleasant acquaintances. If you see her at a party,
yeah.
you can say, hi, Splinter, how are you?
Yes, and move on.
That's the end.
Right.
You know? So...
want to say the myth of closure is that you think you're going to get a different answer from Splinter
yeah.
somehow.
And
you're
you
not.
The answer you want in closure is,
yeah.
I'm sorry,
yes.
you were right.
Yes, and you're never going to get that.
I have wronged you,
right.
and I am not worthy of your friendship.
Right.
Enlightened, empowered,
right.
Buddhist poetry girl.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I think that you need to take a really long, hard look at the letter you sent us.
Yeah.
And look at each time you are painting yourself as the victim.
Yes.
And reacting and defining yourself because of other people's impressions of you.
Yes.
The pattern of women not liking you.
It's very suspect. You need to look into that.
Yeah. You need to, you know, I'm really glad you're in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Joss and I are both such advocates for people getting therapy and really trying to break the patterns that keep screwing up their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very clear that there's a pattern here
mm-hmm.
that you need to break out of. And maybe you've started.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta pull the trigger on this.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, this letter is not about Splinter. This
no.
letter is about you.
Yes.
And everybody has crappy friends, which is why we're here
mm-hmm.
talking about friendships. And everybody has been a crappy friend. And if you can acknowledge that, I think... you're going to get a lot farther, a lot faster
mm-hmm.
in your journey to become that person you want to be.
Yes, I agree.
And the only way, as the Buddha teaches us,
mm-hmm.
the only way to achieve enlightenment is reflection.
Yes.
Self-reflection.
You have to. I do want to say, like, you're asking us how to break up with this person. Right now, I'd like you just to block her, as Kristen
mm-hmm.
says, and you're done. That's how
you're
you break
done.
Up. Because the closure you want, as we said before, it doesn't exist. You already know what she's going to say to you
yeah.
if you have this big talk where you get together
yeah.
or you talk on the phone.
You've already had that. You've
yeah,
tried
because
it.
You
You've
tried it.
It.
She was all denying everything.
In chapter 2 and
yes.
chapter 3.
Yes, you know? Yes. You don't. There's no such thing as closure.
Yeah.
So please don't do that. And you're not ghosting her. You are like
yeah.
really putting this to rest once and for all.
So let's picture this. You run into her at the mutual friend's party.
Yes.
And she said, you haven't answered my texts.
Right.
You've blocked me on social media. And you
yes.
can say, Splinter, you're right.
Yeah.
I've blocked you. It just wasn't good for me, and I felt like we were going in circles. But I wish you the best.
Yes.
And I, you know, happy to see that you're doing well.
Yep.
Have
and
a nice day.
Yes.
I'm going to go get more shrimp.
Right.
Right?
And you're done.
You're done.
You don't invite her to coffee.
You don't try to get back that mythological happy time that you had because
it
really
never
didn't.
Existed.
And you don't have to be the victim of this behavior, this pattern that you put yourself in. And you put yourself in it
you
from
really?
The minute you decided to go to your bullying
sister's
college and live with her.
Right.
You know, you keep putting yourself back with your... abuser
basically
right
yeah
and back with people who aren't good for you
right
and you need to look at why you do that
right
either you don't feel that you have enough value for good friends
mm-hmm.
good people or what Joss you think you can fix her
yeah maybe you or you enjoy being in the drama, I think. There was a lot of drama
yeah.
going on.
That's
and,
a good point.
For some reason, you wouldn't... I mean, for me, I'd be out of there so fast because I can't
yeah.
deal with that stuff.
Yeah.
But
people
you kept
say
coming
they
back.
Hate drama
yeah.
And keep putting themselves
in
the
drama.
Love drama.
Yeah.
And listen, we all love, you know, to watch a couple break up in a restaurant.
Right.
And, you know, it's exciting. It's invigorating. When you're in it, you know, you get this shot of adrenaline that
mm-hmm.
maybe enlivens a life that has been too calm for you.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are drama mamas
mm-hmm.
and they get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
if you're really not into that, then you'll put an end to this.
Yeah. I would also encourage you in therapy to take a good long look on how people perceive you, like why these patterns of friends, you keep having them, and how you're being perceived, how you come off to people. Like,
that's
right?
A very good suggestion.
Just because there seems to be a pattern in this incredibly long letter of...
Longest letter we've ever had.
Ever had.
And so you get a prize for that.
You do. And by the way, single spaced. and by the way, there seems to be a pattern of you having major issues with female friends.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
Right.
That's really not a good
thing. That's one of our red flags.
It
is. For, you know, if a woman says, I just don't get along with other women.
Yeah.
It's not those other women.
It really isn't.
It's her.
It's you.
So it might be you empowered.
Yes.
So, you know, we appreciate you writing and being brave enough to put all this down.
Yeah.
And we can't exactly validate you.
Right. Because you were asking us to.
Except to say, you know, we believe that you can do better.
Yes.
Okay?
I agree. Yes.
And really thank you for writing. And if you ever want to write us back, we're here for it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now, Joss.
Yeah.
We have been gifted
it really
with something
is.
Very special.
It really is special. I can't even describe how special it is. I may frame it.
Yeah. I think we should. Brings us to this week's embarrassing personal problem.
Okay, here we go. Dear ladies, thanks so much for your podcasts and books. I've been enjoying them and getting some much-needed validation and tune-ups. I have an embarrassing personal problem to share. The embarrassing and problem part relates to me, but the personal part relates to my dog. He's not embarrassed by it, and he doesn't consider it a problem. In fact, I think he's quite happy about it. My dog is very friendly and thinks everyone and every dog should be his friend. We got him neutered and brought him to group puppy classes as soon as possible. It was always a struggle to keep him from getting kicked out of the training. When he realized he wasn't going to get his own way at that class, he started pleasuring himself. Spread eagle in front of everyone. It's pretty loud and acrobatic when he gets into it.
I'm trying to picture it, and my mind shies away.
Gymnastics going on there. He also started doing this in my home whenever guests would come over, and he was made to behave. At one point, one guest pointed out the size of his anatomy and remarked that my husband must feel jealous.
Oh my God. What kind of dog is this? I'm terrified.
I've lived with female dogs and male cats, but this is my first male dog. I thought the neutering process was similar for cats and dogs, so I was really shocked and concerned about what happens to his anatomy when he does this. So I called the vet and described the issue. The person who answered the phone started giggling and went to tell others in her office. I could hear roaring laughter in the background. One of them came back to the phone to teach me a male dog anatomy lesson and assured me that he's healthy and the neutering process worked. I thanked her for her information and now make sure that my dog is good and tired before he sees guests. Thanks for reading. Signed, Dog Lady. I love
dog
this
lady,
so much.
Bless you. Bless you.
It's pure gold.
That is fantastic. And you know, I just want to say,
yeah,
you know, before we end this show, that there's nothing wrong with masturbation.
There isn't.
It's very healthy.
It is.
Even in dogs.
I too, growing up, had a dog that enjoyed...
himself.
Not quite himself. I had a puppet.
Oh, no.
A puppet of a raccoon.
Did your dog rape your puppet?
He fucked the hell out of that puppet. All the time. All the time. And my mom had, one Sunday, my mom had the church ladies over for lunch. And he brought the puppet out into the living room and positioned it correctly. Positioned it and started fucking the shit out of the puppet. And then, like, fell over replete. You know what I mean? So, and that dog was also neutered, too. So I don't know what's going on with the dogs. But it is a thing, and it's healthy. So you know, listeners, I never touched that puppet, ever.
Oh, yeah. And maybe, Dog Lady, you want to look into getting a puppet for a little pre-dinner party
pleasure. Yes.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends
forever.